conversation with the wrong people, who then gives us wrong advice. So the question really is this: where can we get the best advice on how to deal with the problem? Well, if you look in Numbers chapter 9, God's got a word for you. And Moses said unto them, "Stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you." God's got an answer if you take him your problem. But you got to stand still. We don't want to stand still nowadays. We live in a fast-paced society that is short on patience. Drive your vehicle, speed limit. Somebody behind you is going to be riding your bumper to push you faster than what the speed limit is. Why? Because they want you to drive faster than what you are driving. Why? Because it is the way society is. Nobody wants to follow the rules. Everybody wants to do above what is being said. And they can't understand why do I have to go to speed limit? This speed limit should be higher on this road. That's what people's argument is. Some people got a lift. As soon as they get in, their tires are already squealing when they take off. We need to understand this. Even sometimes when we're praying, if our answers doesn't manifest immediately, we begin to doubt the promises of God and his power. This is what Satan likes to use the most, because Satan likes the fact that if we don't get the answer that we are praying, Satan likes to use that against us. See, God didn't even hear you. I don't know why you're still praying to him. Have you got it yet? No, that's what I thought. See, Satan starts to mess with your mind, and then you start to doubt, is there really a God? Satan knows that, first of all, let me say this. Satan knows that if he can get you to doubt, just a smidget of doubt, he said, oh, I can win them over. See, we need to understand that delays often bring birth to doubts. So when we receive a delay, we starting to doubt the very power of God. I remember this short story. I remember years ago when I was just starting off into the workforce. I applied for the Terminal Railroad. And as I applied for that job, you know, I was happy and excited. Well, I didn't get the one job that I was going out for, but then there was another job within the railroad that I was made a promise that I will get this job. So I began to, you know, I'm not going to say I waited a long time. I waited a little bit because I'm thinking that this was a blessing for me. But it turned out to be a waste of time. Imagine if I had waited on that job, I will still be waiting right now because I never received that call. See, we don't know what God has in store for us. I'm thinking that I'm going to get this job and this is where I'm going to start my career. This is what I'm going to do. This is where God wants me. It was paying a lot of money. That's where some of us get the trick. It was paying a lot of money. See, we go like, oh, it's paying a lot of money. It must be God. No, it's not. So I'm thinking that, okay, God is going to bless me with this job. And I'm going to tell you, God took me in another direction. What direction was that? Well, it was another job paying a lot less. That when I was made the offer, I was like, you got to be kidding me. And I held the phone so long, the lady said, hello. He said, in other words, she want to know, do you accept the job? I'm like, and then I thought about it. I said, well, I ain't making nothing now. I mean, it's something. You know what I'm saying? So I went ahead and accepted the job, and I'm glad that I did because I saw the hand of God on this job. And how God blessed me every step of the way, how he watched over me. Now, I could have, you know, went and forced my way and say, oh, man, come on now. No, God said he's going to give me this job. I'm going to wait on it. But was I really listening to God, or was I listening to man? Or was I listening to my own self-desire, which is still listening to a man? Listen to what I'm saying to you. God hears your prayers. God wants to answer your prayers. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I came forth for thy words. God is saying, I heard my voice. I heard my word. So he's saying that I came because I heard myself. Because his word won't return to him void. So he heard his word echoing from his servant. And it came to God. God sent the messenger while he was still praying. But Satan wants to delay God's blessing to you. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Understand this. God is trying to get a blessing to you, but you got to understand the devil is trying to mess with you. All he's trying to do is derail you. You got to stay focused on God. He's trying to derail you. That's all he's doing. You need to know that God's heard your prayers. God is trying to deliver you. And one thing you need to understand, just because it's a delay doesn't mean that it's a denial. It's not a denial. God is listening. God is listening. Problems and circumstances of life do not stand a chance against an unchanging God. Doesn't stand a chance. No matter what else changes around us, God is always great, mighty in his power, and never changes. He also promised that not only will he not change, but he will never leave you nor forsake you. He's saying that I am with you. That's why he said Emmanuel, God with us. The one constant thing in our lives is the word of God. It never changes, and neither does our Heavenly Father. Folks may act funny with you. Folks you grew up with may not speak to you anymore. Folks you went to school with, all of that, you people who you fellowship, work with, invited over to your house, eating your cornbread, you know, now they don't want to speak to you no more. Somebody who you helped out. You understand what I'm saying? Now all of a sudden, when you speak to them, they turn the other cheek. That ain't what the Bible was talking about. Malachi 3:6, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. In other words, this God is saying he could have destroyed us. Read the rest of that. This is why we are not destroyed. God could have destroyed us if he wanted to. While God and his word would never change, but your circumstances can change and will come quickly if you give it to God. Notice I said if. A lot of us don't want to give stuff away. We have a problem. We got sticky fingers. You know, we like to hold on to stuff. You know, and you probably walking around with somebody else's stuff that you ain't supposed to have. That's just the way we are. I mean, come on. You done, not only do you have your own, but you done picked up this person's too. You don't need to do that. No, you give that to the Lord. And if you know how to pray, send that back to where it came from. 1 Samuel 9:15. Let me say this. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow, about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cry is come unto me. Now, God is saying, by this time tomorrow, God is bringing a change to the nation of Israel. The people had wanted a king, so God is giving them one. Within 24 hours, Saul of the tribe of Benjamin met the prophet. In one day, he went from being a donkey herder to the king of Israel. So I'm confident Saul never saw himself as a king, but God did. Let me say this. I'm confident that Dr. Day didn't see herself as a COO with the hospital that she is now working at was in her backyard. But God saw this. Amen? Most of the time, let me just say this. I'm not, you know, don't take this the wrong way. But most of the time, back in the days, that you know, my mom and before them was, you know, the women were growing up. They just wanted to be a housewife. Find a good man that was working, and they wanted to be a housewife. I can guarantee you that she didn't have, you know, on her mind that she was going to be a COO of a hospital. Restricted to moments when life is going well. Joy is an inner a serenity of the soul rooted not in circumstances but in the choice to trust God, faithfulness, regardless of what is happening externally. So no matter what you're facing, how disturbing our distress it may be, you need to know that God will take care of you. He will position you for victory. You got to let God put you in position. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In every situation, no matter what the circumstances may be, whether you see it or not, God will move supernaturally in your life, dealing with whatever you may be facing. So you can praise God for his word, his power, protection, provision, and promotion. Like the song said, praise him in the morning, praise him in the new day, praise him all day long. Praise make the enemy flee. It pushes back the darkness that surrounds and blocks the attacks of the hissing lies over us. Evil will not stick around if you're praising God. It ain't gonna stick around too long because it don't understand how you're constantly praising him and all this is happening. God would fight your battle. Praise leaves no room for complaining and negativity. Praise makes room for God's blessing over our lives. Praise God despite whatever comes to try and destroy you. You can praise God for the victory that has already been won. Give God some advance praise. Y'all don't give God enough advance praise. I'm talking about before it even happens, you already praising God. Praise him before the trouble comes. Sometimes it really is a sacrifice to offer a praise to God. You may not feel like praising God, but you still need to open your mouth and praise him anyhow. I like how the songwriter says, I don't know why I have to cry sometimes. I don't know why I have to sigh sometimes. But there's going to be a perfect day. Trouble's got to move out of my way. I don't know why, but I'll find out by and by. It goes on to say that I don't know why I stand in need sometimes. I don't know why, Lord, my poor heart bleeds sometimes. But there's going to be a day. Trouble's got to get out of my way. You got to understand. You got to speak this or sing it to yourself. I don't care if you're by yourself. You don't need a choir. All you need is a voice to open up your mouth and sing to the glory of God. Speak to your situation. You ain't going to be in it always. It's just temporary. It's just for a season. God gave us seasons to understand that it's not going to last always. It's just for a season. Let me say this to you. I got to whip my whistle a little bit. Let me say this to you.
How many of you have ever been involved in a race? I've been involved in some races in East St. Louis, and I'm going to tell you something. We get down in it, boy. I mean, you know, we when we get into a race, boy, you see folks taking off shoes. And I'm sitting there going, oh, it's like that, huh? Folks taking off shoes. You got folks raising up pants legs. You got some folks going in the house and going to get their new shoes. Then you got some folks tying up their shoelaces. And you got other folks saying, just give me a foot. And you got some folks that just sitting there ready for you to say go. What I'm trying to say, people were preparing themselves for anything that may hinder them for running the race. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying this morning. All I'm saying is that you got a race to run. And this race that you're running, you got to run it with patience. The one thing that hinders us from running a race is the looking back. You can't be looking back at what you've been through, because you're not going to see where God is trying to take you. If you're constantly running the race and you're looking backwards, trust me, you're not going to see the mark that you're trying to press for. All you're going to see is what you've been going through, and it's going to discourage you. It's going to slow you down. It's not going to keep you moving forward. I'm telling you, you need to keep your eyes on Christ. Paul is talking about pressing towards the goal, forgetting those things that are behind. Yeah, people talked about me. They're going to still talk about you. I don't care if you're dead and gone. They're going to talk about you still. I don't care if you just gave them $5 or $20. They're going to still talk about you. Why? Because you didn't give them $50. Let me tell you something. Folks are going to talk about you regardless. But you have to know this. You're not living for them. You're living for Christ. So you're not running this race for them. I'm running this race to see the glory of God. I got so great a cloud of witnesses that's watching me, cheering me on, letting me see the joy of the Lord. So do I act like I have a swagger? Yes, because God is who I'm serving. I'm not serving man. I don't care what man says or what man do. I got to understand, God, did you say that? Because I didn't hear you say it. Until I hear you say it, God, I'm going to keep pressing. So you need to understand that there is a circle around you. There's circumstances. Get out of that. Press toward the mark. Paul been through a lot, but I never heard Paul say, you know what, I ain't going back to church no more. I ain't hear Paul say, well, that person, you know, tell me what you see it in the scripture, but I didn't see Paul say, that person didn't speak to me, or you beat me. I'm not doing this Christ thing anymore. I never heard Paul say that, but Paul kept pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. Paul kept preaching. And he went back and got some more. You know, when people come off the field, all they do is go get a drink of water. And then they say, hey, let me back in, coach. I don't know if you all remember the football player, Ronnie Lott. He said, they wanted to take him off the field because his finger, he said, cut it off and put me back out there. He said, I ain't coming off that field. You got some people that are determined. And that's what God is wanting from his people. Don't let anything hinder you. Whatever it is that is bothering you, whatever it is that is trying to keep you from getting to God, let me tell you something. You can speak to that mountain and say, be thou removed.